Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 22 of the Poor Sports Podcast. We have an action-packed podcast for you today. But before we get into that, we just want to say, as we always do, thank you so much to everyone who listens to the podcast. It's an absolute pleasure for us to do it. If you have anything that you ever want us to talk about on the Poor Sports Podcast, hit us up on our Instagram at poor_sports. Also on that end, we do have merchandise available. It's the holiday season coming up. We've got hats, t-shirts, sweaters. Your loved ones and your friends will want Poor Sports merchandise. It's the hottest stuff on the market. Anyways, now that we've done all of that obligatory stuff, again, thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast coming up. It's going to be action-packed. All right, let's get into it. I'm your host, Jake Kelly. Friends, we know that it was a busy, busy week in sports. We, of course, know that Grapes Don Cherry got fired. Don't you worry. We are going to get hot and heavy into that topic. But first, it was a busy week in sports other than that. So we've got to cover some of those things. Stay with us, though. We are going to get into Grapes hot and heavy. But with no further ado, I'll introduce my co-host. I've got Jeremy Collins with me live in studio. Jeremy, say what's up.
I missed everyone. It's been a long week. I know we're 8 days this week, so it was a little bit extra long. But we got to see huge news yesterday, so we still have lots to cover.
Absolutely. And Lee. Lee is in studio, but in London studio. So Lee, say what's up to the people.
How's it going, everybody? Feels good to be here. Wish I could be in the studio with the boys, but you know, weather permitting, everything like that. Glad to be here, though.
Absolutely. It is winter in Canada. If you haven't noticed, if you've been living under a rock, it snowed a lot here.
Get your snow tires on. Everybody should have snow tires. They should be mandatory.
They should be mandatory by before the first snowfall, because it always happens this way. It happened to me. This first snowfall came out of nowhere. I didn't have my snow tires on, so I was doing 40 all the way home last night.
I'll be the first to say I don't have snow tires.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'll be with the other group with no snow tires.
Yeah. Boo.
Anyway, so how we do it here on Poor Sports, if you haven't listened in a little while, or if it's your first time listening, we are starting with a thumbs up or thumbs down saying, or thumbs up and thumbs down, excuse me. So I will pass it off to Jeremy. Jeremy, why don't you start with your thumbs up first?
My thumbs up goes to the brother with the same name, Jeremy Roenick, Chicago Blackhawks legend. Why, you ask? He went on a Chicago radio station today and told a legendary story, something that I loved, and it appeals to everything. Love my sports, I love my gambling, and I love my beers. So we have Jeremy Roenick, who said Michael Jordan called him up while JR was playing for the Blackhawks and said, let's go play some golf. So when Michael Jordan asks you to play golf,
you say yes.
You go and play golf. Now, I don't know if you know this, Michael Jordan had a little bit of a gambling problem. Mm-hmm. So Michael Jordan was putting money on every holes, and they were having fun. And I guess after a couple holes, the night was over and Jordan owed JR some money. The next day, Jordan won that money back. So he said, let's go play 36 holes. And JR says they brought a 2-4 out with them, and there wasn't very many left over by the time they were done the 36 holes. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when JR realizes, you play tonight, Mike. You play tonight. You play the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. I'm going to put my house on you losing tonight because you're about 10 beers deep, and I've seen you out here on the golf course. You just played 40-something holes. So Jordan goes, no, I'll be fine. Roenick says, no, you will not. And then so Jordan was down a whole bunch of money to Roenick, and he said, double or nothing. Tonight, we win by 20, and I put up 40. Jordan goes and puts up 52, and they win by 29.
Oh, my God.
It was classic. An incredible story. I loved it.
That's awesome.
It's like one of those so wild stories that you just like, no, it's true. Like, why would they lie?
Yeah, and I saw on Twitter someone responding to that saying, you know what, this must have been the game because judging from the story, they deduced little pieces of information. Okay, it was this night. It was against Cleveland. Da 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 da. And they found the box score. So sometimes you hear these stories that are so far out there, you think, no way. They found probably the game, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I love that's it. Wild. That's my thumbs up from this week.
For sure. Lee, what is your thumbs up for this week?
My thumbs up is just college sports right now. So the college sports scene is starting to get into the swing of things. We had college basketball starting, and you're getting down to crunch time here with college football. I'm just going to highlight four games, two from each sport that happened over this past like week since we last recorded. In football, we had undefeated Minnesota play undefeated Penn State in Minnesota. It was a bad house there. Did you guys see their scoreboard when Penn State guys tried to kick a field goal?
Was it the Gopher?
They put the Gopher right there, and it's caused, like, I think kickers only like 55% when the Gopher's up there, so it actually works. But that one was 31-26 with a pick in the end zone to end the game there. And then the biggest game of the year, really, and it lived up to the hype, was the number one LSU Tigers taking on Alabama, right? I guess it was number two at the time, and LSU won that one 46-41. And all for all you fantasy football dynasty nerds, I think there's been a passing, and that I think Bob for Burrow is officially going on right now, because I think Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in this draft class now, because he's looked unstoppable with this team.
So I was doing a little bit of reading on this game, and there's some scouts that think 15 players in that game are going to go in the first round.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's nuts. And then did you guys see what you guys might not have seen? So after the game, because it was in Alabama, it's the first time in 9 years LSU beat Alabama, and the LSU players went over to the recruiting section of Alabama saying, like, you guys really want to go here after.
Yeah, I saw that. Just, that's awesome.
So, like, yeah.
And it was a good game.
Those are unbelievable games. And then just quickly, basketball, college basketball.
Wait, sorry, right off Lee, the bat, can I interrupt
starts
you?
Off with those tip-offs, Lee, like those college.
Lee, can I interrupt you real quick?
Of course.
The LSU Alabama game. My favorite part was LSU's coach in the locker room when he cussed out Alabama.
He's the best coach in college.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic.
Roll Tide, FU.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but we had to talk about that. That was just awesome. Yeah.
I love that coach. He's got to be one of the most electrifying coaches there is, man. Yeah. Coach O.
Yeah. Anyways.
College basketball, you had the Kansas Jayhawks, number two, like, I think they were number four versus the number three Duke. They have this tip-off thing now at the start where they just pit the first four teams against each other, so it just gets you excited. That one was 68-66 for Duke. And then Kentucky versus Michigan State was like 69-62, like one versus two at the time. It just college sports being back in general, especially basketball. Started thinking about the March Madness tournament. And I know, Jakey, you got to be thinking about it. You're looking to repeat this year as our defending champion in our big pool.
I am, yes, absolutely. And I will do what I did last year. No research. And I will still hopefully win, but we'll see.
Pick the starting five with the most white guys on it, and you'll just start rolling through like you did with Virginia.
Pretty much. That's what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyways, you're all done there, Lee?
I am all done. Thank you.
Jake, your thumbs up.
My thumbs up is to my Toronto Raptors going into Los Angeles without Kyle Lowry, without Serge Ibaka, and just playing the next man up.
And without Patrick McCaw.
And Patrick McCaw. Yeah, of course. And beating LeBron James, beating Anthony Davis. They were 10-point underdogs in this game, and they won by 10-plus, I want to say. Just a heck of a game. Just goes to show the Raptors' resiliency that they have this year. They are a good team, folks. Like I've said on this podcast before, they'll probably struggle against some of the upper echelon teams, but they didn't seem to do it last night, and that would seem to be maybe a bit of a game that no pressure. If they lose, well, they were never expected to lose that game.
The Toronto Raptors, they're a bunch of guys that have, they're underdogs their whole career.
Yeah, sure.
And they've done so well in that role. And with Kawhi leaving, it kind of puts them back in their comfort zone. They're the underdog. They're just going to go out there and give it all they got. Chris Boucher blocking LeBron James and then Anthony Davis on back-to-back possessions. That was incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So,
It just goes to show quickly on that one. It just goes to show how much you guys should have hammered that win total for the Raptors off the start as of right now. Because, even with these guys being hurt, they're still winning games like this. There's no doubt they hit that over.
Now, it is a little bit frustrating to me, and I have always felt that the Raptors get slighted by the NBA in virtually every category possible. They were a playoff team for, I don't know, 6-plus years, perennial. They never got a Christmas Day game. They were confident in the conference championship. They never got a Christmas Day game. They got Kawhi Leonard. They didn't get a Christmas Day game. Finally, they got a Christmas Day game. But the schedule still, they went in and played in L.A., a back-to-back against the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard last night. They're on a back-to-back on a West Coast swing, a heavy West Coast swing, and Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers got 3 days rest. It's just, it's like, come on. Why can't we build this up a bit more? It just goes to show that the NBA...
It's going to be huge when Kawhi comes back to Toronto.
Sure.
And
sure.
Did you see on the broadcast where they put the camera on a sign that said, I took a 72-hour bus ride here just to say thank you for my hat? And the guy was wearing the Toronto Raptors 2019 championship hat.
That's cool.
I thought that was super cool and super Canadiana of him.
Yeah, very much so.
And Kawhi Leonard just doesn't shut out. Like, we saw that the Clippers won back-to-back, whatever. But you look on the other side of that court, and you see what Kawhi left. And, like, yeah. I bet you he's having second thoughts. Like, he better love it at home because
these guys
he left on the other side, they're becoming stars.
Yeah, they are. They really, really are. But anyways, I digress. So that's my thumbs up. Why don't we switch over to our thumbs down?
Our thumbs down? Yeah. Lee, can you start off with a thumbs down?
I can start off with a thumbs down, and we'll go a little local. Unfortunately, TFC traveled to Seattle on Sunday, and they were not victorious at the MLS Cup. Seattle Sounders win the Game 3 of the trilogy. They beat TFC 3-1, which really sucked. And it pretty much was 3-0. Like, Altidore scored the 93rd minute. It was already over. But the what the stats will say is that if you look at the stats and even watching the game, TFC did dominate this game. They had 66% possession. They made almost they were close to double the passes that Seattle did. But Seattle just did what they did all year. It was great defense, hit them on the counter. Great defense, hit them on the counter. And unfortunately, that's going to probably end the big reign of TFC because they're going to have to rebuild. They got a bunch of older players and all that. But it was, you got to say, that was one of the great runs for an MLS team. That's for
sure. And a great rivalry, 3 years.
Yeah.
Toronto and Seattle. This wasn't the Toronto team that was like spending more money than everyone else. This was a different Toronto team, and it was like a nice run to watch.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah, yeah. And they were upset guys left, right, and center to even get there, right? Because they played a bunch of road games just to win. They beat New York City FC. They beat Atlanta all at their place.
It was good. And I was disappointed by the game. I was watching it as well. They were playing well, and they had some good chances. But like you said, Lee, it was just those quick counterattacks. Makes it tough. But that's football, as a lot of soccer fanatics would say. That's football, right? It's not about who holds possession. It's about who scores goals.
And we'll get into another game that was like that on the weekend as well.
Later on. Anyways, Jeremy,
My thumbs down. Jason Garrett and the offense ran by the Dallas Cowboys. Now, going into this week, they had the most efficient offense in the league, and Jason Garrett is a coward. A coward, I tell you.
Wow. Strong words.
He had some questionable call playing. Play calling, maybe. Might have to edit that one out. Fourth and six from the Minnesota 39 in the first quarter. Attempts a 57-yard field goal. They miss. Vikings at good field position. Fourth and six from the Minnesota 48 in the first quarter. He punts instead of going for it. Vikings grab the ball. 13 drive. I can't talk. Something might be wrong with me right now.
Wow.
13 play drive.
Were you hanging out with Jeremy Roenick on the golf course earlier?
13 play drive, and the Vikings scored to put them up 14-0. And they continue to just not go for it. Time after time after time after Dak Prescott was carving them up. Thumbs down, Jason Garrett. And if I'm Dak, it's not the amount of dollars that's going to make me stay in Dallas now. It's whether Jason Garrett's there or not.
Ooh.
I think he gets franchise tagged, too, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's heading that way.
That'll be interesting to see in the offseason. But
that's my thumbs down.
Yeah. Okay, my thumbs down. I'm going to stick with the aforementioned Kawhi Leonard and load management.
It worked, Jake. It worked last season. We saw it.
Don't say that it worked last season because it worked one time against, and you know, we can easily argue that if the Warriors had been healthy, okay, and those injuries were
come
not.
Come on, I've heard this from Steph, I've heard this from Draymond, I've heard this from Clay.
What
I've
I'm
heard
saying
this from
is
Kevin Durant. I don't need to hear it from you too.
What I'm saying is that load management 8 games into the year is baloney. It's load management down the stretch, right?
Was it not a home game, too?
It was a home game. It was the first. And
that's when you do load management.
It was a home game. It was against the Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the former or the MVP from last year, Kawhi Leonard. You're the Finals MVP.
So it wasn't even in a conference game.
I thought it was against San Antonio.
It was against Milwaukee. You're doing a disservice to the fans. You're showing the fans that you don't care about them. ESPN, this was on national television. It's the Finals MVP versus the MVP from last year. That's prime television. You look like a coward because you're bowing out of game one of a back-to-back rather than game two of it.
They
at
won't
least.
Care about being cowards if they have rings on their fingers at the end of the year.
We'll see, I guess. But taking off this game has nothing to do with whether or not having rings on their fingers. The fans, the people, are the people who pay their salaries, and they're doing a giant, you know, two fingers up to them because it just shows they don't care. They don't care about them. It's pathetic. If you're going to say, I'm not going to do back-to-backs, then just come out and say, I'm not going to do back-to-backs. But even so, if that's what you're going to do, don't do it in that game. Do it on the second night when you're not playing the Greek Freak. I don't know. How many players in Kawhi's position would have ducked Giannis? Like, he ducked him. He was scared to play him, if you ask me. You think LeBron would have done that? No. You think Kobe ever would have done that? No. You think MJ would have done that? No.
Different players now.
Clearly. Anyway, that's my thumbs down.
And it was Portland they were playing too the next night.
To take off 2 out of 8 games when you're 8 games into the year, that's pathetic.
He had such a long season last year, though.
Do you think James Harden would have done
come
that?
Come on, Jer.
Yeah, he went all the way to the end. And in the last two rounds, he was limping around there.
How many times did LeBron? How many games for load management did LeBron take off when he went to the finals 8 years in a row?
Let's go here. Let's
yeah,
let's
he,
move
he
on.
Had Bosh, he had Wade, he had other superstars with him. He didn't need to take games off. He took games off within the game.
So you're saying that the Raptors went 17-5 last year and Kawhi didn't have players around him? They went 17-5 without him last year, and you're saying that he didn't have players around him. Yes or no? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's
okay,
not what I'm
saying. Okay, there we go. Anyways, that wraps up Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. Coming up next, you're going to want to stay tuned because it is my turn to make you some money. It is my betting segment, people. Listen up. We're on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
All right, it is time to make you some money. I have been betting Thursday Night Football these past couple of weeks. I'm going to stick with it. This week it's the Steelers versus the Browns. The Browns are favored by 2.5 points for some reason. I don't know why. I'm obviously picking the Steelers to win that game and, of course, cover the spread. The Pittsburgh Steelers are hot right now. The Cleveland Browns suck. They always suck. I don't care if they just beat the Bills. They suck. I'm always betting against the Browns, and while I'm at it, whatever the total over-under is for how many catches Odell Beckham Jr. has, just take the under. Just take the under. He's doing nothing against that Steeler defense, and neither is Baker Mayfield. Take the under on Odell Beckham Jr. total catches, whatever it is, and take the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the game on Thursday night. It is that time now for the 2-minute drill. For those of you that don't know how this segment works, we just take an assortment of stories from the week past in sports and talk about them rapid fire for about 2 minutes each.
Lee's back!
Lee, you're there, buddy.
Yeah, how's it going?
We can hear you. Anyways, so we will start with an interesting story that just came out about not this past Houston Astros team that was in the World Series, but from 2017. A story has come out that there was a camera in the outfield that the players in the dugout were watching in real time, banging a drum a specific way to alert their batter what the pitch would be.
And it just sounded like bats were clanking around in the dugout.
Yeah, that's
or
pretty much what it was. And it was like only on like off-speed pitches. So like if you didn't hear The example that they showed, I don't know if you guys saw it, was Danny Farquhar. It was Farquhar with the White Sox, and they would only bang the drum when it was a changeup. So if it was a fastball or anything like that, they just like wouldn't say anything. So then like Evan Gattis, who's at the plate when they were showing it, would just be geared up, ready to go fastball, right? But then he got down to like 0-2 or something like that. They knew a changeup was going. He could like foul off these good pitches. You know what I mean?
So my question here is, what do we feel about this? Because, and I'll just preface my remarks here, stealing signs has always been a part of baseball. And I understand this makes no sense when I say it out loud. But back in the day, you had to steal signs honestly. You'd get to second base fair and square. You'd try to relay the message to your batter, and that'd be that. Nowadays, stealing signs dishonestly, it's different. And I understand.
Gamesmanship, folks. Gamesmanship. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
But is that too much? Like, shouldn't you have to steal the signs in the honest way, not using this technology and so on? And
I like.
Well, that's just flat out cheating, right? Like, that's not like an okay thing. Like, that is just straight up cheating.
But
like,
okay. Do you think that back in the day, Babe Ruth didn't have someone in the stands with binoculars?
Why are the catcher's signs they're throwing so developed? Why isn't it just a one-finger thing? Because everyone knows sign stealing's a thing.
Yeah, the thing is, with a lot of sign stealing and what it's become, is like there wasn't, to your point on Babe Ruth, no. Like, how could you relay signs all the way from the center field to Babe Ruth back in those days? It just doesn't happen. Like, you can't have a guy sitting at the stands to know what the catcher's doing from behind him, right?
I don't know exactly, but I mean, if we were getting paid a lot of money to figure it out, I bet we could figure something out.
Do you know why I think Lee is super against this?
Why?
He's a Tampa Bay Rays fan, and they can't afford this technology. Them and the Miami Marlins are quite a few years behind the likes of the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, but we do just as good. We do better than most of the teams, so that's fine.
I'm all right with it. It's all gamesmanship, and like, if you get caught, there's going to be reprimandations, right?
Yeah.
So
It's a weird one. It's a weird gray area. And again, the fact, no, you have to steal signs honestly. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. But anyways, we'll move on. Colin Kaepernick is going to be holding a private workout that all 32 NFL teams are invited to attend. Colin Kaepernick, he obviously wants to play. And they'll be conducting an interview with him as well, which I think the only question that they're going to ask him is, will you kneel for the national anthem? Yes or no? He's already said that he won't. So, anyways, what are our thoughts on this? Lee, why don't you start off?
I think it'd be cool, right? Like, because, like, it's one of those things where I it's good for it to be happening because, from my standpoint, like, it sucks seeing some of these bad backups and everything, but, like, it sucks, like, because, like, regardless, you're a pro, right? Like, you're a pro if you're a pro in the NFL. And just hearing the Twitter police or the social media police say, like, how could Kaepernick not find his way on a team, et cetera, right? That I think it'll be good to finally see it, like, if they're going to give him a fair chance on if he can get onto a team.
Okay.
I think that, like, it's never been a question of whether he can or can't play at what level. It's, do you want that as your backup quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that if he was the greatest quarterback, if he was Lamar Jackson even right now, I think he'd be on a roster. And I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just saying, you know, speaking purely as facts. If he was that good, he'd be on a roster because you could deal with the distraction.
Yep, winning fixes everything.
If he's winning all those games, it's if he's going to come in and struggle or come in and just be your backup, you can find a lot of people who can struggle or be your backup that don't carry the same distraction. So it'll be interesting.
And I know we're about to get into it with the Leafs, but I rather struggle with the young person or player that you haven't seen do it than struggle with what I know I have.
Well, fair enough. Why don't we just transition right there to the Leafs and what's going on with them?
So, if you haven't heard, Hutchinson went down because in 7 of his last 10 games, he's allowed 4 or more goals. His rebound control is horrible, and Mitch Marner's out 12 to 20 games probably.
Okay, yeah.
So, the sky is falling in Leafland yet again. The only person saving this is William Nylander.
Yeah, that's...
William Nylander has been lights out last couple games, and I'm hoping someone overrules Babcock, because when Mitch went down, him and Matthews played 21 minutes, and Babcock said, that's too much.
Yeah.
Matthews got 4 assists.
How's that too much? I don't get that.
That's your stars. Load up
your
stars.
You need to win. That's the big thing. Yeah. Right? You need these wins.
They've now lost more games than they've won this year, and they're on pace for 94 points, I think it is, and that's not going to make the playoffs.
Hmm. Yeah, and if they don't make the play, if they're not on pace to make the playoffs, you know what? Jeremy, you are a big anti-Mike Babcock, the head coach. I feel like you should almost be in favor of him saying, don't play these guys too much, because that's just going
to
lead to him.
I don't want a lost season. I don't want. I want him to struggle just enough to get fired, but we're still collecting points.
Yeah, I think that's a lost season.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, it's weird. It's weird in Leafland. I don't know.
What's the answer? Is it just injury? Like, I don't watch a lot of Leaf games myself. I'm not a Leafs fan, but what could be fixed?
It's player deployment. It's how Babcock plays the goalies in certain situations. It's the defensive style. If you know Hutchinson's going to give up a lot of rebounds, then you have to have everyone back. Yeah, so it's a lot of coaching. It's a lot of who's playing where. And I hate when the boomers on Facebook say it's all William Nylander's fault when it's the bottom six taking penalties. And the Leafs don't have superstars on their penalty kill. So the penalty kill isn't great. And then they get scored on, and then somehow it's Willie's fault.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Watch the games.
Yeah, you got to watch the games. You got to watch the games. Anyways, we'll move on to the MVP battle in the NFL. It seems to be developing as a two-horse race between Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson squeaked out a win last night on Monday Night Football against the previously undefeated San Francisco 49ers. And Lamar Jackson had 4 touchdowns, looked cool as all get out doing it, and then one amazing rushing touchdown. What are our thoughts on this MVP race?
Lamar Jackson's insane. It's crazy.
That spin move was unbelievable. Oh,
I know. I wish it was against a better team than the Bengals, the Bungles.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So Lamar Jackson's 16-game pace right now this season is due to outperform Patrick Mahomes last year for fantasy stats.
That's incredible.
It's crazy. And I loved it when RG3 and Lamar Jackson linked up on the same play. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And then they had Ingram there. It was just the 3 Heisman boys right there, just all in the backfield.
That was pretty cool.
And I guess my thing on against Russell Wilson is until the really in overtime, he didn't he had 200 yards passing. He wasn't losing them the game, but he wasn't winning them the game at all, right? And you could chalk that up to the 49ers defense being the 49ers defense, right? But still, the Seahawks are loaded, offensively. They are loaded.
Russell Wilson wasn't the best player in last night's game for Seattle. It was Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, Clowney had a heck of a game. Both defenses, I thought, looked good.
Who's that rookie or the first year there, that Turner for Seattle, who pulled that spin move?
Oh, the wide receiver?
Yeah, he pulled the spin move, and I think an OT. And he just pulled that. It was unbelievable, that spin move. And that was because of the lock and injury, which hopefully he's good to go. Looks like he should be.
Yeah, so, it's just a bruise.
So, if you believe, we're going to do a count of 3. Who you think should be MVP as of right now?
As of right now?
As of right now. And it doesn't have to be those two players. You can have an outsider, okay, Jeremy and Lee? Yeah. But we're going to count down to 3. 1, 2, 3
Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Wow, all 3 of us, Lamar Jackson.
That's just right now. I think that Wilson, by the time the season's done, will be the MVP.
Yeah, and you know what? That's on us for when we did our midseason review, that actually none of us picked Lamar Jackson to win anything when we were doing it. We picked everybody but him.
He just had.
And we saw your comments. We saw your comments, and yeah, we definitely could have picked him, that's for sure.
Fair enough. Anyways, we'll move on to kind of a weird story. Dion Waiters, he's a player. He's a player for, I don't even know if you can really say a player right now, but he plays for the Miami Heat.
He gets paid by the Miami Heat.
Yeah, he hasn't played in a game yet this year. He's kind of a washed-up guy. He was a guy who came into the league with a lot of expectations. He's never really lived up to them. He took an edible gummy that was laced with THC and had a panic attack on the plane at, you know, God knows how high in the air. And he got fined for 10 games. It's cost him $2 million. Just an odd scenario.
Yeah, so 10 games for Dion Waiters because he got high.
He was going to start for the Miami Heat this year.
But then he got high.
He was going to be a really good NBA player coming out of college.
But then he got fat. No, high.
It's a too bad of a story for Dion Waiters, you know, for who he used to be. This is just silly. And I don't want people to say, so, you know, weed is bad for you. No, this is something that could have just, he took too much of it. And he's perfectly fine, like, in terms of his physical health. He was just having a freak out.
Yeah.
Right? Let's not.
Time and place there, Dion.
Let's not get these two things mixed up. Anyways, Lee, you wanted to talk about Liverpool and Manchester City. Let's talk about that game.
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest game I think that happened this weekend. It was Liverpool who are now, after a 3-1 win, 9 points clear of that elusive Premier League title. I know we're only 12 games in and anything can happen, but that's a big gap right off the bat for a team like Liverpool. They meet Man City 3-1. The biggest way to say this is that Liverpool just took their chances. Firmino scored an absolute screamer in the 6th minute, but that will be ruled with controversy because 30 seconds before, there was a ball that came into the Liverpool edge of the box there. That was handball clearly by Trent Alexander-Arnold. They have VAR. VAR didn't overturn it, which led to Pep Guardiola, the manager for Man City, going ballistic that they didn't do it because Fabinho obviously went down and scored. 7 minutes later, Salah scored to make it 2-0 on a beautiful cross from Robertson. And it was just the chance of missed chances. Like, to say some of these stats, like, if I told you that there was if I didn't tell you a score and I told you that some team had 13 corners, they had 18 shots, they completed 550 passes, 83 pass accuracy, and I told you they lost, it'd be pretty crazy, but they did. And Liverpool now all of a sudden.
I'd say Randy Carlyle was coaching the other team.
Yeah, literally. That's exactly the point. And,
but as we said in the TFC bit that we talked about, that's football. It's not about possession. It's about putting the ball in the back of the net. I hear what you're saying loud and clear, right?
Yeah, and just a quick little update on that. So Raheem Sterling, who you know for sure, right, Jake?
Of course, yeah.
He's coming home. It's coming home, right, for your boys right there in England, right?
Yeah.
He got into a scrap with Liverpool center back Joe Gomez at England training yesterday, and they had, like, legit fought because of this game.
Yeah, I heard that. And Sterling's not playing in their qualifier, right, against Montenegro.
Yeah. They almost sent him home pretty much because they just scrapped. And they were, like, really good friends, but it just shows how big that game was.
Yeah, fair enough. And they said that they talked, but who knows what that even means. But, yeah. I love that. I love that passion. Anyways, we'll move on. So, as you may have heard, there was kind of a big error in a Hockey Night in Canada broadcast.
Oh, Jared, it was bad.
Why don't you?
It was horrible. I'm sure you've read all about it.
What was it?
Sportsnet forgot to come back from commercial on time, and we didn't get to see John Tavares' shootout attempt. It's like he was invisible out there.
I bet that's not what you thought we were going to talk about. But coming up next on Poor Sports, that is exactly what we are going to get into. It is going to be a full segment on Don Cherry, his firing from Sportsnet, the fallout, and everything else. Coming up next on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
Jeremy Collins here. Rough week last week, but I'm not counting it. The Lions had Matt Stafford out, and they still almost beat the Bears. As soon as Stafford was out, everyone knew, just go take the points. And if you took the points, you would have been all right. This upcoming week, though, I'm going to take a couple, not gimmies, but I'm pretty confident in them. The Patriots are going to come off their bye and whoop the Eagles. You can take the Patriots minus the points, and you can take the Chiefs straight up on the Monday Nighter. Chiefs are playing a divisional matchup against the Chargers. You can take Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs against the Los Angeles Chargers. That's it. See you next week.
Don Cherry fired over a pre-Remembrance Day rant around poppies.
The legendary hockey commentator targeting immigrants, suggesting they didn't respect veterans enough.
Following is a presentation of Hockey Night.
Hello, Canada and hockey fans, the United States and Newfoundland.
All right, so if you've been in a coma for the last 72 hours and just woke up, number one, congratulations. Number two, Don Cherry was fired from Sportsnet over his comments on Saturday night regarding the poppy and immigrants. So for those of you that don't know, if for some reason you don't, Don Cherry is a Canadian legend. Even so much to say that he was voted number 7 as the greatest Canadian in CBC's popular Who's the Greatest Canadian show, which Terry Fox actually won. Fun fact for you. Terry Fox was, I think, 2nd behind Tommy Douglas, who gave us free healthcare. Anyways, not to get too deep into that, but that just goes to show how influential and you could say important Don Cherry was in Canadian culture. Myself, being one of these people, I'm young enough that I've never known hockey in Canada without Don Cherry. I know
you'd
Don Cherry.
You'd have to be pretty old to know hockey without
I've
Don
Cherry. I've known Don Cherry growing up. So I guess first and foremost, let's just tackle the elephant in the room. Did Don Cherry deserve to be fired? And let's just start right from there. Who would like to start first?
I think it's been a while that Don Cherry's... that Hockey Night in Canada would be better without Don Cherry. It'd be a more hockey-centric and entertaining and informative product without Don on Coach's Corner.
And that is neither... that is nothing to do with the comments that he made on Saturday night. You're just saying, just in general, Don Cherry probably should have left 5-10 years ago.
The slip-ups in names, the having Ron Rainham in nightly, it just became too much for me. I've stopped watching Coach's Corner for the most part.
I don't think that you're alone in that sense of it. I've heard many people say, I haven't listened to Don Cherry in years. Let's talk, though, about the comments that he made. Specifically, I think that the key point that really what did him in was when he was talking about people... he singled out Toronto and Mississauga, saying that you walk around and you don't see many people wearing poppies. And then he said, and I quote, "You people, you come here, you like our milk, our honey," and then proceeded to go on about the good things that veterans have done for Canada, essentially saying that people, when he says you people and our, that directly insinuates that he's talking about an other. Our being Canadian and you being an immigrant to Canada, right? These are facts, right? I'm not trying to even delve into that other part of it yet. Can we all agree with that base level of fact?
Lee, yes. Are you there?
Lee,
yeah, I can.
Yeah, and I think that's fair to say. So let's just all get on a level playing field here. And I think that his comments since this... he said, well, yeah, I said you people, but I could be talking about Welsh or Irish or English, whatever. But that still means that you're talking about immigrants, Don. Just because you're not talking about an immigrant of color, a visible minority immigrant, doesn't mean that you're still not talking about immigrants, right? Also, when you're talking about Toronto and Mississauga, that does tend to be a place that has a large amount of minority-looking immigrants.
51.5% of the population in Mississauga
is not white.
Yes.
Is not white, sure. So I think just getting into that, in my opinion, when I first heard it, I thought, one, typical Don.
Yeah, I've heard everything.
And I thought, two, this really could be the thing that can get him fired.
You see? So
this really could be the
thing. I agree with you on one of those two things. I said typical Don, but I've heard him say things that are as bad, if not worse, before. I was like, CBC's just going to keep milking the cash cow. They have the sponsors for the segment. Budweiser probably wants Don Cherry in that chair.
Yep, fair enough.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Jeremy there. I think he's gone off on. Didn't he call the girl goaltender a PR stunt? She should stick to women's hockey. I'm pretty sure he's gone off on Indigenous people, saying they can go get their own fair shake in life pinkos. And work for it.
Yeah, he's called left-wing people, left-wing pinkos, and so on.
Et cetera. So that's where this. I agree that he should have been let go, but it's weird that, like, this was the time. Like, why? What was different from this time than the other time, do you think?
How much weight can you put? It's not that what Don Cherry has said has changed. It's that the line underneath him has.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a good way of putting it. Don Cherry hasn't changed. The line underneath him has changed, exactly, because 6 years ago, and look this up if you'd like, we're not making this up, he said, and I'll paraphrase here, but pretty much, you know, Toronto's not a safe city anymore, and you know why. I can't say it. I get in trouble for that, but you know why. Clearly insinuating that the immigrant population there is becoming an issue for Toronto. And that, again, he couldn't have said that in 2019 without getting fired, right?
Yeah, so, and I think the big thing as well is that I think if he would have came out and apologized, they would have kept him. But if anybody knows anything about Don Cherry, exactly. He wouldn't have done that. He would have rather have died than apologized for that.
Yes, and he's doubled down, and he's doubled down again and again. It's just out right now that he has said that he's sorry if he hurt anyone, but believes the, quote, silent majority agrees with him. If you're unfamiliar with political talk and jargon like that, the silent majority has been used a number of times to essentially signal the white population in Canada as well as the United States, saying the areas of, you know, outside the big city where it is predominantly white people. And that signal. So I feel like right then and there, he's doubling down again, saying that, saying, I think it's very hard at this point to say that his comments weren't racist. Or anti-immigrant. If you don't want to use the word racist, at least anti-immigrant. Maybe not anti-immigration, but anti-not white people in Canada.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I really struggle with it. And I think that, you know, how can you walk around a place like Toronto or Mississauga and look at someone and know that they are an immigrant or not? Because a lot of those people would be from Asia, would be from South Asia, places like India or Bangladesh or Africa. They could have been here for three or four generations. That doesn't make them an immigrant just because they're not white.
And Don Cherry's been like this for
as long as
the sun's risen, because he used to own an OHL team, and he famously refused to take Europeans onto his team. Guess how his team did?
Very, very bad.
Very, I think there's one season with 3 wins, one season with 5 wins, and then 6 wins before they're like, okay, something's got to give.
Something's got to give here, Don. Yeah. So I think that that's really, I think that people, especially around our age, I've been on social media and I've seen different takes on this from different people our age.
I think it's a very polarizing firing here. I think we've even posted on our Instagram, and I think it's been very divisive. Down the middle. Maybe just because the other side, like the side that supports what he said, right? The silent majority, as Don Cherry says, is a lot more outspoken than the other side. But we definitely see both, like we, not like see as in morally, but we see like ourselves the other side.
We've literally seen comments on our Instagram, exactly.
We get comments, we get DMs, yeah. Like it's everything.
Totally. I guess, I think that me, just from a personal and moral point of view, I find it frustrating that, you know, in my opinion, the veterans that he loves to talk about, and that's all the power to him, right? That's something that he has done in his not job time, not while he's on Coach's Corner. And I've seen people talk about free speech. Oh, you can't say anything. And I do hear where they're coming from.
We don't have the First Amendment in Canada.
We don't have the First Amendment in Canada. This is not the United States. And he said something at his job. There is no such thing as free speech when you're at your place of work. You have to ask yourself, if you walked up to your boss and said, you know where to go and here's how to get there, you would probably get fired. If you went out onto the street and yelled out those certain words, you would not be sent to jail. Don Cherry got fired from his job. He didn't get sent to jail. He got fired from a private company that didn't like what he said. And I think that that's something that people also need to come to terms with a little bit. You know?
And it's a big dollar asset moving out. Like Sportsnet, yeah, with the hockey contract, it's a dimes and dollars thing, too. He's been doing this for 39 years. You don't think there's a huge money behind that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
for sure. They can make dozens of stars with that money.
Yeah.
And I hope they do.
I hope they do, too. Now, I guess my question is what if you're someone who agrees with Don Cherry, who agrees that you know, these what he said was true, right? I think that there's not enough of a discussion there, because I think that if you do believe that, and people can come at me on Instagram, you can vent to me if you don't believe, and I'll gladly have this discussion with you. But I don't know what numbers you might be sourcing. Just saying that when you go into big cities like Toronto and Mississauga and you say that people of color aren't wearing poppies, that's not enough. That's not enough, in my opinion, to go on to a sports show and make a claim like that. If you want to say that in your living room, well, then we can have that discussion over Christmas,
yeah,
right? Or at Thanksgiving.
At the dinner table.
But I don't think that that's something that you can necessarily say in that situation without any consequences.
Yeah, and here's the big thing as well. It's like along the lines, like, if you so agree, you say you don't see enough people wearing a poppy or whatever like that. And there's two things. One, sometimes like they do ask for a donation for the poppy. Sometimes some people get penny pinch, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's not a thing that they can, that they even think about going to get, right?
Yep.
The second thing is, if you're so passionate about people not wearing poppies or anything like that, even a Don Cherry, why don't you go out and buy a bunch and start handing them out? Because I know if I got handed a poppy or a bunch of people got handed a poppy, they would wear it.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. And I think that if you're going to be upset at new Canadians for not wearing the poppy, well, then why don't you lead the charge and go out and start educating people on what the poppy is, what
exactly
it represents, and what is happening in Canada? Because,
yep,
if you're a new Canadian, sorry, but you might not know our deep and weird history with the poppy.
That's a very good point. Scott MacArthur, who's now with Sportsnet, he had a big, long Twitter thread about he was asked by an immigrant why he wears a flower on his lapel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm probably not the right person to educate you, but here's my understanding.
Here's the Cole's notes.
Yeah, here's the Cole's notes that, yep, we've all been taught from as little as 6 years old, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that shows that we can still continue to educate everyone.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I agree with that.
Totally. And Don, like, if that's what you want to do, then by all means, go for it, right? But you can't say stuff like that.
It's hockey night in Canada.
And
even if you would have said something along the lines of, like, I don't see enough poppies.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he did not need to signal it out. Like,
this is the NCAA. It's targeting is what Lee's trying to get at. He said there he was clearly targeting somebody. Lee's having some technical issues, so
yeah.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, I'm back. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Lee. What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, it's like, for instance, like, for me, this year, I just didn't find time to find a poppy. I wasn't wearing a poppy, you know what I mean? But I would if I would, like, be aware and everything like that. You know, it's along the lines of that. Like, it's just like everybody doesn't wear a poppy all the time, but it's just,
yes,
it's just about remembering, right?
And I doubt that if a lot of the people who are saying I support Don Cherry on various social networks, I doubt that they would say to their friends if they saw them not wearing a poppy, what are you doing not wearing a poppy? You're not Canadian. I doubt that conversation would happen, or if they did, they would say it more in jest.
It's the silent majority, Jake.
They would say it more in jest, right? So I think that it's, who's ever heard the idea that whenever you want to see a yellow car, you'll look for yellow cars and you'll see that yellow car.
Yep.
Whenever you look for, you know, a certain thing, you'll find it. And the old analogy is that whenever you look for a reason to have a bad day, you'll have a bad day. Let's use that same logic here. If you look for a person of color not to be wearing a poppy, you'll probably find a lot of them, right? If you look for a white person not wearing a poppy, you'll probably find a lot of them.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right? I think that, and that's just it. So
Give us your thoughts on the Instagram. We still love the conversation.
We love the conversation. And if you are someone who really feels like Don Cherry was in the right to have this kind of conversation on Hockey Night in Canada, in the first intermission of an NHL hockey game, then, hey, you're allowed to have that opinion for sure. I think it's fair to say that we are, to varying degrees on the spectrum, in disagreement with you. But yeah, I think that's our thoughts on it.
So let's go on to the hockey side of things.
Yes.
So what do we think now happens in that first intermission of Hockey Night in Canada? So they've had a pretty good segment in the second intermission with headlines. Are they going to move that up?
So
I think so. I don't think you can replace Don Cherry on Hockey Night in Canada. That's my honest opinion. Maybe let Ron McLean go and host. I know he's tried. You can find other. Let him just do Sundays, right? The hockey day. Right?
Yeah, for sure. And I saw this idea floated out on Twitter to bring in someone like Haley Wickenheiser, someone who, one, knows the game, and is, two, sort of the anti-Don Cherry.
I don't think they'll do that mid-season.
I don't think they would do that either.
Do you think there's more of a chance of Brian Burke or Haley Wickenheiser?
It's Brian Burke if they're going to try and continue coach's corner.
Yes, if they're going to try to continue that same style of
He might not be Canadian. But he's been the Leafs general manager. He's won a Stanley Cup in Anaheim with that style of play. And he was president of Calgary.
Yeah. And I think that...
He was the president of Calgary.
And I think the backlash against Brian Burke was that people would say, oh, wow, great, you took... and let me finish this thought, is that you took an old white guy and replaced him with another old white guy. However, let's look at who Brian Burke is. His son is openly gay. Right, he's been very vocal about supporting that community. So, while you know, sure, those are his just basic demographics, being an old Caucasian male, I think that he would be a lot more enlightened, and I think he would certainly talk more about the actual game that was happening. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think Brian Burke is kind of like the perfect fit.
If you're just gonna take Don Cherry and take 20 years off of, you know, mm-hmm. rewind the clock 20 years, it would be theoretically, you know, Brian Burke.
Yeah, I agree.
And he can still be in media platforms because other than challenging Kevin Lowe to a fight in a barn.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think happens to Don Cherry?
See, that's an excellent question. I don't think any network touches him with a 10-foot pole. I don't think other than, you know, I think that he might get interviews here and there, but because he is hockey royalty at the end of the day. But I think it'll be casual interviews, you know, some newspaper interviews and stuff like that. But I think we've seen the last of him in any sort of commentator role.
Yeah, he's not going to have another job per se. When all this was going down, when he got fired, I looked at the clock. It was getting pretty close to 4:00. I was dying to hear Bob McCowan's thoughts on that. He's the guy I would go to. I would want to hear his whole spiel on it. Mm-hmm. I think Don Cherry would be a great guest to start off a podcast with Bob McCowan.
That'd be pretty wild.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's quickly recap here. I think that we want to you know, it's been a weird sort of week and a weird sort of discussion point around this. We would love to hear more of your thoughts on it, genuinely. And we can easily talk about this again. With that being said, I think that pretty much wraps it up there.
Yeah, and he did do good things. He got the stop signs on the back of the kids' jerseys.
Totally, totally.
No touch icing.
Yes, and we shouldn't gloss over that stuff, but that just further kind of echoes the point that maybe, you know, he probably should have left 10 years ago. You know, or being on a 10-minute tape delay rather than...
It wasn't a tape delay. They recorded that at 4:00.
Now, do you know that for fact?
Yes.
For fact?
Yes, that's like, it's regularly done.
That's bad. That's a whole other can of worms that we don't have time to get into right now. Anyways. That I think does it for us right now. Stay tuned though. We still have to hear Lee's bet. Lee knows his
winning
gambling.
Bet.
Lee knows his gambling. So you're gonna want to stay tuned for that last little bit. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to episode 22 of the Poor Sports Podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, we've got merchandise. Buy that merchandise, baby. Thanks a lot, and bye for now.
Peace. Lee Kuzmich here with the bets. I got screwed last week. I took Penn State on the over in points of 27. Guess how many they scored? 26. They scored 26. Off missed two point convert twice. They missed that instead of just kicking a field goal. So that's a tough one. We're going to come right back to Minnesota, though. We're going to come right back to Minnesota. They're coming off a huge win. They're going into Iowa. Going into Iowa in November is where teams go to die. It is so cold in Iowa. Teams never do well coming to Iowa. Michigan struggled. Ohio struggled. People lose there. And betting world knows that, as they've got Iowa's 3-point favorites. So I'm going to stay away from that. But here's your bet. Take everything you can under. Everything. Under a 44.5. Take the home team points under 23.5. This game is going to be a tight game. There's not going to be a lot of offense. It's going to be cold. It's going to be loud. Field goal wins this game. So take the unders. And that's my bet of the week. Poor sports.